got that right. I know what was. It was from me. Yeah, no, it was from me. No, get that sorted. So very good morning to you and welcome to Eagle FM. I don't know why this is always happening to me. I don't think it happened to many other people as well. So technical glitch always happened during my time. So I need to talk with technical people because this is not, it's not good at all. Good morning and welcome. Welcome to Eagle FM. So it's a Tuesday morning. And how is your Tuesday morning? We're still in the first month of the year. So some of you are still actually gathering your thoughts from the holidays that you have, and maybe a wonderful holiday that you have, or maybe you could have been working and you still actually shouldn't have done that. And you still feel, oh, I shouldn't be here and all that. So, but anyway, that's what it is. So welcome. My name is Michael Shoveni. And this is Unpacking the Day, your daily dose of what is really going on in business news, economic and politics. So every weekday, we come through the noise. We cut through the noise to make sense of the big stories, trends and numbers that are making headlines. So we keep it clear and always curious, asking the questions that matter and giving you a fresh take on what people are saying out there. So the views shared during our segment do not necessarily reflect those of Eagle FM. We are here to unpack what others are saying and spark a meaningful conversation so that you can be part of the bigger conversation. So this is your space to unpack the headlines and get to the heart of the stories. So hopefully I'm alive because I don't see that on this side. Yeah, all right. So as usual, and if you're just joining us, welcome. Our time, it's about 10 minutes past the hour of 8. This is Unpacking the Day. Yeah, we're coming to you live from Ondangwa Studio, and I will be with you until the hour of 10 o'clock, when we will be handing over to Tate Naluvanda for Kuthamosha, which will also be coming from this side of the world. So, as usual, welcome to on this day in Africa. This is a segment where we journey back. Where we journey back in time to explore the moments that shaped our continent. Now, today, January the 20th, is a date packed with history, from the brink of independence to moments of both tragedy and, well, transformations. So, and let's start in 1960 in Brussels. A hugely important meeting kicked off, the Belgo Congolese Roundtable Conference. It's called Belgo Congolese Roundtable Conference. This was a historic sit down between Congolese nationalist leaders, including figures, the future figures like Joseph Kasava Vumbu and Patrice Lumumba. So, and the Belgian, you know, officials who ruled their country at that time. Now, this conference was the direct catalyst for the Congo, for the Congo's independence, which came just 5 short months later on June the 30th. So it was a moment that signaled the end of an era for colonial Africa. So now we turn to a much darker day in 1973. On this day, Africa lost a great hero, Amilcar Cabral, a key leader in the fight for independence for Guinea-Bissau and Cape Verde. was assassinated. Cabral was more than just a politician. He was a freedom fighter whose ideas were central to the liberation movement against Portuguese rule. While his death was a devastating blow, his vision for his people lived on, inspiring them to ultimately achieve the freedom he fought for. And staying in Southern Africa, but fast forwarding to 1986, on January 20th of that year, the small kingdom of Lesotho experienced a military coup. We thought military coup only take place in East Africa and West Africa. So it also took in Southern Africa. So, yeah, a small kingdom of Lesotho experienced a military coup. Major General Justin Lekaya led the takeover, ousting the Prime Minister Leabua Jonathan. So, and in a twist, the coup also saw the return of King Moshoeshoe II to a more prominent role, though under the firm watch of the new military rulers. So, and finally, we land in South Africa in 1989. On this day, F.W. de Klerk became the leader of the National Party. Now, this might sound like a simple political change, but it was a massive, massive turning point. So de Klerk began a series of reform that nobody saw coming. And these reforms would eventually bring down the cruel system of apartheid. And most famously lead to the release of Nelson Mandela. We will continue this after this break.
When you choose UNAM,
you get credible accreditations.
You get internationally recognized qualifications.
You get a university with a growing reputation.
When you choose UNAM,
you get a head start on local jobs.
You become connected in a growing Namibia.
You stay in the best country in the world.
Because you already know you love it here.
Open your mind to UNAM.
And UNAM will open the world to you.
UNAM is your university, Namibia.
Because the U in UNAM is you.
All right, welcome back. Welcome back. That sounds too loud. Welcome back. So yeah, we were just finalizing the last historic event of Mr. de Klerk began a series of reforms that nobody actually saw is coming, and these reforms would eventually bring down the cruel system of apartheid, and most famously lead to the release of Nelson Mandela after 27 years in prison. So it was the beginning of a new chapter for South Africa. So, and that is your journey. That's your journey through history for today on this day in Africa. So join us tomorrow again when we're looking at another segment of On This Day in Africa. So, and if you're just joining us, good morning. And today is Tuesday morning, the 20th of January. So what is our thought for the day? So any thought that would guide our day today? Even though the elephant is huge enough, it cannot carry a big tail. So even though the elephant is huge enough, it cannot carry a big tail. So in the proverb, the elephant represents strength. Okay, it represents strength, status, or achievement. And the small tail highlights that every person or situation has limitation or constraints that can't be ignored, or no matter how dominant they may seem. Now, symbolically now, the proverb teaches us that Even the greatest or most powerful beings have weaknesses or limitations. So aspects they cannot change or expand, no matter how strong or impressive they are. So it reminds me that no one or nothing is actually perfect. So in everyday use, this proverb might be used to say something like, don't assume someone is capable of everything just because they are powerful. Everyone has limits. All right? So that's our thought for the day. And make sure that don't assume that someone is capable of everything just because they are powerful. So welcome. And this is Unpacking the Day. And where are you listening us from? So we would love to know that. And we're welcoming you to the best of the best. And also your number one talk radio stations. So, and if you're just joining us, this is Unpacking the Day on Eagle FM. So what we will be discussing this morning is the new U.S. Trade warnings, okay? And this trade warning actually forces Africa to choose its economic friends. We're going to go in detail in terms of that. And we're also looking at a new strategy that Angola is actually embarking on. Angola's sovereignty premium, and we're looking at that their debt strategy, which is very, very, very interesting. Something that when I read the article, I was thinking, okay, why can't we do this with our, you know, with our uranium? So we will get into that. And then
there's always something destructive. All right. So yeah, that's what we have today.
That's what we're going to, and so much more. And there's still so much more. And your participation definitely, would be also part of the show. So make sure that you unpack all this along with me. Stay tuned. We will be back after this.
My friend, why do you seem so worried?
Ace, I am planning an event for next weekend, eh? And I don't know how to best get people to hear about it.
Saima, don't worry about those small things. Contact Eagle FM today. Eagle FM has a dedicated team that can travel anywhere countrywide to broadcast live at any event, such as a promotion, organizational launch, anniversary, wedding, funeral, political or traditional and church events, and basically any event that you wish to broadcast on a national level. Call them now and talk to Monica at 081-270-3727 or the office number 083-288-400. Eagle FM, the eye.
No matter where you are, if you have a mobile device, you can tune into Namibia's number one talk radio station by downloading the Eagle FM app on the Google Play Store or on the Apple App Store. Download the Eagle FM app to tune into live Eagle FM programming or to listen to podcasts or previous broadcasts. Eagle FM, Namibia's number one talk radio station.
Get social with us on Twitter, Facebook, Instagram, and LinkedIn. Our handle is Eagle FM Namibia.
Eagle FM, the eye.
A very good morning if you're just joining us, and welcome to Unpacking the Day. Our time is 22 minutes past the hour of 8, and you are on Eagle FM, and this is Unpacking the Days. So my name is Mike Oshoveli, and this morning we're looking at the story that feels like a world away, okay?
something that kind of like it's something that is far away from the story that you're looking at. But it hits right at the heart of what it means really to be a small economy, okay? A country like Namibia with a small economy in a very big, big, big world. I think that's the angle that I'm looking at this, you know, that so many things can happen. So, you know, it's like being at, let me give you a scenario, okay? And then we get into the story. It's like, you know, it's like being at a family gathering where two powerful uncles, the powerful uncles aren't speaking to each other. You have these two powerful uncles, they are not speaking to each other, John and Sam, you know? And you are their nephew, and you are the nephew, and you are the nephew they both like, you know? They both really like you. So one uncle, Uncle Sam, say, if you talk to Uncle John, I'm not going to give you any pocket money, okay? So said, if you talk to Uncle John, I mean, Uncle John, if you talk to Uncle John, I'm not going to give you, you know, I'm not going to give you pocket money. The other uncle, Uncle John, is offering you a great deal on a car. But you know, it will make Uncle Sam very furious. So who do you side with? You know, who do you side with? That is the tightrope the several major African country or major African nations are walking right now. You know? So the United States has issued a warning, a hard warning. Okay? If a country keeps doing business with Iran, the U.S. says it will slap a 25, It will slap a 25% tariff on that country's export into the American market. A slap of 25%. And the message was framed as immediate and non-negotiable. When you listen at the CNBC, you know? So it's immediate and non-negotiable. So now, that warning matter because several African countries trade with Iran to some varying degrees. To some degrees, you know, several countries in Africa trade with Iran. Now, at the same time, many of them rely on access to the U.S. market, you know, including now through the preferential arrangement like AGOA, which gives duty-free access for certain export, but can be reviewed and withdrawn as well. So one have to understand that as well. So the story that we're looking at is from the ECOFIN agency. So it is becoming kind of like pick your pain, you know, pick your pain moment, no? You know, diversifying partnership and risk U.S. penalties. Because as an African, we're trying now, by doing trade with Iran, you're actually trying to diversify your economy, isn't it? You know? So now, that's why I said, pick your pain. You know, pick your pain moment. Do you want to diversify partnership and risk U.S. penalties or protect U.S. market access and now narrow your options? So, oripokatiko koshike? So, and let's get into that a little bit. Let's unpack that properly. Okay? Now, what is Washington really saying? Okay? What is really Washington is saying? Why is it not just about trade? Eh? Do you think this is really just about trade? Now, on a paper, this is a trade move, okay? On a paper, I'm saying on a paper, this is a trade move because there are other, you know, things that are not said, that are not on the paper, which are mostly, which are more likely the truer than what you have on the paper. Now, on the paper, this is a trade move, 25% tariff threat. But in practice, I think it is a foreign policy tool. We had that openly talking about the AGOA last time when we talk about that. This is a foreign policy tool. Okay? So the U.S. is basically telling countries, your trade choices must match our political priorities. That's basically what it is. Your trade choices must match our political priorities. And that is not a new international politics. This is not something that is new. Big powers have always used, they have always used markets. They have always used banks like MIF, World Bank, and the most important one, sanctions, to shape behaviors. Zimbabwe has been sanctioned. Many countries have been sanctioned. Iran has been sanctioned, you know. So, yeah. So this is not new. It's not something that now we're looking at, since, like many people say, well, yes, you know, U.S., this is not new. This has been always international politics. And the big guns have always used, you know, either they use the market, they use the banks, or they use a sanction actually to shape, you know, behavior of small countries or of their opponent. So, but here is what changes the temperature here, okay? The pressure here. Now, the tariff is described in a blackened terms. So I was listening to Reuters, and that in a blanket terms. Now, the problem here is that it's not on, it doesn't say it's on this product, not on that sector, but just broadly on trade. And that's a heavy, you know, it's a heavy stick. We're going to look at that when we come back.
Great news. Import just got even better. We have added brand new features to make your experience smoother, faster, and more powerful than ever before. Ready to unlock the full potential of Imba? Get all exclusive features for just 36 Namibian dollars a month, or save even more with our special subscription plans. 5% discount for 3 months subscription, 10% discount for 6 months subscription, and 25% discount for 12 months subscription. Choose the plan that works best for you and start enjoying everything Imba has to offer at an unbeatable price. Imba, where the world congregates. Download it and subscribe today.
So welcome back. Yeah, and we're talking about the 25% tariff slapped on you if you're actually trading, if you are doing trade with Iran, you know, by the U.S., So, and let's be honest, you know, tariff is one of the, I think it's one of the easiest punishment, you know, to sell if you are US, it's the easiest punishment to sell at home politically. You know, it sounds like, we are protecting ourselves, because normally that's what it sounds like. It's like we are protecting like ourselves, even when it is, when it's really, we are pressurizing you. It's not that we are protecting. That's how it sounds like from the American perspective and from Trump's perspective, like we are protecting ourselves. But it's actually we are pressurizing you. We are pressuring you, you know? Yeah, we are pressurizing you. That's what this is actually all about. So, and when you hear tariff, one thing I have learned now, that when you hear tariff, don't only think tax. That's what I used to think. I think it's leverage. Okay? When you hear tax, I mean, when you hear tariff, it's not just tax. I think it is leverage. Definitely, it is leverage. So, now, the article, this is from the Eco Finance Agency. The article ties the tariff warning to a worsening condition inside Iran. Okay, So inflation near 40%, a collapsing currency in Iran, protest that is going on, and contested death toll figures. I say contested because, you know, there's nothing that is coming out clearly. So every agencies or whatever have their own numbers. And plus the internet blackouts. So yeah, this is what is happening. I think, as I said, the tariff warning, ties to that, the article ties the tariff warning to the issues that are happening in Iran. Now here's where we must now slow down and question our session carefully. All right. So when death toll numbers numbers jump from 100 to 1,000 to even more, and verification is difficult, that it does not mean the suffering isn't real. Okay, I think that's one thing that we should very, as I said, these are things that we should very, you know, must slow down and question our session carefully that we hear. So whether now the toll numbers are the death toll numbers are higher or whatever the case may be, that's still, you know, that's real, still real suffering of the people. So it means information is part of, in this age, the information is part of the battlefield. So, and that's why I said we should be very careful. It's part of the battlefield. And in a crisis, one thing I have learned is that in a crisis, every side pushes number that actually suit their goals. So you never actually knows what are the exact numbers. So some want, you know, they push it higher because of what their goals are. Some pushes down because of their goals. So everyone, as I said, it's part of the battlefield. The information has become part of the battlefield. So the unrest context does two things at once, right? One, it raises a genuine ethical question. You know, should we be doing business with a government accused of brutal crackdowns? Okay, now in the context of what we're talking about, all right? But it also strengthened now the U.S. argument for isolating Iran. You know, making the pressure feel morally justified. Kind of like, you know, when you talk about the number of people dying and all that, it's making the pressure feel morally justified. So, and as Namibian, we know this kind of moral politic mix. We know that during apartheid, you know, countries debated sanctions and boycott, you know, and whether trade was complicity or engagement, you know. So that debate never really went away. Okay? That debate never went away. It just moved to another conflict. It just moved to a new conflict. So yeah, this brings us now to the other side of the coin. Okay? Now, Africa's growing relationship with Iran. All right? So it is easy to ask. Okay? It's easy to ask why. Maybe you're thinking, why trade with Iran at all, knowing the risk? Okay? If you know the risk, why trade with Iran at all? But here's the answer. The answer actually lies in a word we hear a lot in Africa. And we hear a lot also here in Namibia. Guess which word that we hear quite a lot. Now, the answer why should you trade with Iran at all, knowing what the risk? What is the word that is normally is used? Diversification. So diversification. Now, for many years, okay, for decades, many of our economies, many of African economies have been tied to the West, you know, to the West, to Europe, and to America. And while that has brought opportunities, it also makes us vulnerable. It makes our economies vulnerable. Yeah? Think of it like a farmer, okay? A farmer who only grow maize. If a drought comes and the price of maize drops, they lose everything. So a smart farmer plants mahangu, plants sorghum, plants beans too, you know? They diversify, okay? They diversify. So that's what this African nation, this is what this African nation are trying to do now. Iran is looking for a new market as it is, because Iran is being sanctioned by the West. So Iran is looking for a new market and they turn to Africa. Now, the African nations, you know, are looking for new partners, So to diversify their economies. So it's a natural fit. The data show, when you look at the data show actually that Iran export to Africa, it jumped from 77% in just 1 year. So we are talking about, now, as we said, it jumped, the export, Iran export actually in Africa jumped by 77%. And we are talking about everything from Tanzania buying Iranian oil, to Nigerians selling, you know, their their cocoa and spices to Tehran, to Ghanaians, Ghanaian importing Iranian machinery, and it's about building a new economic pathways, you know, about not having all your eggs in one basket. That's what diversification is all about. But here is where now the trap springs shut. Okay? Now, this is what happened. While now Africa is trying to build these new pathways, these new trade routes, it is still actually heavily relying on the old ones, like the US. And the most important of those is the African Growth and Opportunity Act, the AGOA. So this is the golden ticket. I think now the article is actually mentioned. Now, it gives thousands of African product duty-free, as we know. It gives African product duty-free access to the lucrative, you know, U.S. market. Duty-free. And for country like ours as well, with our beef and grapes and, you know, AGOA is very, 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 very vital. Now, so when now you are faced with a choice between doing business with Iran or with US through AGOA, what do you choose? So you're thinking of your own beef, you're thinking of your grapes, you think, you know, that's the challenge. So the US is essentially now saying, okay, that golden ticket, that AGOA, it could be taken away. So now you are being told, hey, choose us or choose Iran. You can't have both. You want to have both, you know. So you said, no, I should be free to talk to anyone. I mean, to make deal with anybody. As a sovereign country, you kind of like, I should be doing any business to anybody now, but because of that golden ticket, last time we talked about they want to use it as a golden ticket, you know? So we say, hey, if you're actually doing business with Iran, we're going to take this away. You either choose us or you choose Iran. So you cannot have both. And for a government, this is an impossible choice. Sometimes for the government, it's an impossible choice. I mean, you remember what happened to South Africa, you know, to South Africa when there was this naval drill that was taking place. They have to tell, hey, Iran, please, man, just observe. Don't shoot anything. You're putting me in trouble. Please, just observe. All right. So because you are choosing between a long-term strategy of economic independence and your immediate crushing reality of losing your biggest customer.
Eh? So what do you do? This is the issue. And it's an issue for us as well. It may not be happening now, but what also affects South Africa in some way, it does affect us completely. So, and if it's happening to some, to the giant, you know, to giant countries like Africa, Nigeria, and Ghana, who say it's not going to happen to you? So now you might be thinking, and exactly what I'm saying, this is a problem for Nigeria or South Africa. What is going to do with me? Eh? Maybe you are listening from, you know, from Oshakati, Wente, Wavish Bay, whatever. So what got to do with me? So, and that's the most important part we need to unpack now. So that's, what does got to do with me? Okay? Now, remember, this is not just about tariff. Okay? This is not just about tariff. This is about presidency. Okay? President. Not president, president. Okay? Okay. Namibia also benefit from AGOA. All right? We do also benefit from AGOA. Our beef exporters, our grape farmers, our mineral producers, they all rely on that preferential access to the U.S. All right? So if the U.S., if the United States can use this heavy-handed, tactic on South Africa, a continental powerhouse, what is to stop them from doing it to Namibia? What to stop them from doing it to Namibia, doing it to Botswana, doing it to Zambia? What would stop them? So if our foreign policy, it doesn't align, think about it. So if then it's our foreign policy doesn't align with theirs, on different issues, what would they do if we decided that, okay, we go different on this one? And they would say, well, we'll take away the AGOA ticket. Were you taking away the golden ticket? You can't just say, well, go ahead. That's why we need to diversify. When, if we would, you can say, look, hey, go ahead. Because I have other, I have other trade market that I can, there are other friends that I can make deal with. You understand? So, but at this point in time, this is a big challenge, and you are in the hands of the powerful one. So when we have become reliant on these tools, so, and we haven't developed, something that we're talking all the time, diversification, ashpapoigemokanya. But then you don't see the real. Namibia has tried. Let's be also fair, okay? We have tried to diversify our economy, but not to the great extent that we want to, not to the level that we want. So, and this is now, it's a wake up call. This is Now this story is a really a clear signal that global trade is no longer just about, supply and demand. It's no longer about supply and demand. It's about politics and it's about power. Okay? And it's a reminder that in the new global order, economic sovereignty is very, very, very fragile. So, not to go malalato till we are what, eh? I was right. Eh? But there's also one thing you have also to think is that there's also with this kind of issues when we talk about tariff and things, there's a real world impact here. And sometimes the impact is not on the government balance sheet, okay? The impact is on the small business owners who in Lagos, some small business owners in Lagos who now the contract has been cancelled. You understand? With your business partners in America, the contract have to be cancelled. Or it's on the factory workers in Johannesburg whose job is now
at the risk because their company can't compete in the U.S. They cannot compete anymore. It's about livelihood. It's about family. It's about future hanging in the balance. Decided not in a boardroom. So this is not decided in a boardroom in Abuja or in Pretoria, but on a post by Trump, in a post on a social media from the White House. Definitely. That's where the change comes. So, and we have to question the underlying assumption here, okay? So we have to question the underlying assumption. Now, in terms of, is the American approach truly effective? Is it effective? Somehow it's not. It is not really effective. Well, maybe from their perspective, they might be. Or does it simply breed? Because when you look at that, it's more like it's breeding resentment and pushing nations now closer together. You know, forming an alternative bloc like BRICS. Yeah? That stand in opposition to the U.S. pressure. So for every country that cut ties with Iran, how many others might see this as a bullying? You know, this is actually bullying and double down. And then when they see this as a double, and then they double down on their diversification effort, even at higher cost, because they see, well, if it's happened to this one, definitely that's going to happen to me as well. And for us in Africa, this raises a critical question. Are our government, and this is a serious question, are our government prepared for these geopolitical storms? Are we prepared, really? I don't think so. Are we building stronger, resilient economies that can withstand this kind of pressure? I don't think so. Or are we still just passengers on a ship whose course is decided by the captain in Washington and Beijing and Brussels? That's the case. So, yeah, now, so there's also this, I think this idea that the framing that trading with Iran automatically equals supporting the Iran's government. So countries, I think, countries trade for many reasons. You know, even U.S., they trade for fuel security, fertilizer maybe, medical supplies, you know, industrial inputs. They trade for many reasons. Shipping routes, sometimes shipping routes. That's why sometimes, why the U.S. is having a military, you know, in the Middle East. Could be also shipping routes. Pricing. Sometimes just simple availability, you know. And sometimes you buy from a supplier that answers the phone, right? Suppliers that actually answers the phone and deliver on time. You don't care who they are. Yeah? So there are many reasons. So also the global system is not consistent. Yeah? It's also not consistent. Some U.S. allies trade with controversial states when it suits them. But you shouldn't do that. So big powers often ask smaller states to accept rules they themselves actually banned. This is what you see here. Yeah? They do trade with some controversial states, but, you know, they want you to bend the rules. So, yeah. So Africa leaders will ask probably privately that, is this really about, I mean, Iran's behavior, or about keeping Africa with a certain geopolitical lane? You're actually being put in a certain lane, you know? So both can be true at the same time, but it is important we admit the complexity. Okay? At least we admit that complexity. So, yeah, so let's, what do you think? So you, What is your take on this? So what are you saying? So what is your reactions? And come through. Come through now. Our telephone number is 08333 66091. Let me see my line. It's all right. 08333 66091. So you're most welcome to come through now and have your say, have your contribution. How do you see this? Okay. And how would this actually affect Namibia? So, all right. 08333 66091.
Omutiha utekirwa kabuna imatina omjo chikao shafasa na longeshifa ya ishiwike moshiwana iye moya wo ota ingongotisa mwene anageshifa ya Namibia ombito ombwa na wa olonjika zeitha nina omayakuro nirandithoma yoe yongeshifa yoe kupitira mo Eagle FM Media House ngoe tuende tuimemeha uka kombanga nina kara omkwashi pareki uimepo yomo programa detu moambo dengira selma onora heta tuimu datundatu heari jamano tano oniaji Eagle FM the eye.
My friend, why do you seem so worried?
Ace, I'm planning an event for next weekend, eh? And I don't know how to best get people to hear about it.
Saima, don't worry about those small things. Contact Eagle FM today. Eagle FM has a dedicated team that can travel anywhere countrywide to broadcast live at any event, such as a promotion, organizational launch, anniversary, wedding, funeral, political or traditional and church events, and basically any event that you wish to broadcast on a national level. Call them now and talk to Monica at 081-270-3727 or the office number 083-288-400. Eagle FM, the eye.
No matter...
All right, welcome back. Welcome back. Our time is about 6 minutes to 10. Oh, not to 10. Woo, I want to go home already, what? So 6 minutes to 9. And if you're just joining us, welcome. So, yeah. What is actually... Okay, let's look at some takeaway from the stories that we just unpacked. You know, first, this tariff threat is a stark illustration on how great power politics is playing out on the economic stage. And this is within an Africa with Africa's as the arena. Okay. So Africa is the arena where this is actually taking place. It's the stage where it's taking place. So it also highlights a fundamental dilemma for the continent. The urgent need to diversify partnership for a long-term security versus now the immediate pain of alienating. You could be alienating a powerful existing partner like the United States. So, and the rules of global trade. So the rule of global trades are changing. They are changing and they're becoming more punitive, okay? More punishing. So that we see more, you know, you don't do the, we punish you. We punish you. You know, it's becoming more punitive and more punitive and more political. Okay. So what happened in Nigeria or South Africa today could easily be the reality of for Namibia tomorrow. So that's why we should be able to look at some of these things with eye open, you know, and learn from what happened to other countries before it gets to us. Now, the challenge for our leaders is really to navigate this landscape with wisdom, okay? To build an economy that is not just productive. You know, that's not just productive, just to produce, but truly independent and resilient. Okay. I think that's some lessons that we probably need to learn. So, and the question is not just which path this nation will choose, but what kind of a world we are building where such impossible choices have to be made at all. Okay? So, this is Unpacking the Day on Eagle FM. So, what is your take and what is your reaction to this? So, I was looking at, you know, what are the countries that has been referred in the stories. We have we actually have South Africa, we have Kenya, we have Ghana, we have Tanzania, we have Somalia, and the UF tariff pressure on those the country that actually now who identified trading with Iran, you know, who will be now slapped with that amount of tariff, 25%, and this is on top of the of other tariffs that those countries have already. So, yeah, I was looking at where can I get this? What does Iran actually trade with some of this country? We have Nigeria. So what do they trade? So what is at most risk, you know, in Nigeria that would actually facing sector? What is the U.S. facing sector that could be, you know, at risk of those tariff? It could be crude oil, like in Nigeria, the crude oil, the cocoa, and agriculture. So those are the sector that may be facing that. They could be at most at risk of this 25 tariff. When it comes to South Africa, it's autos, mining, especially diamonds and platinum, and the sector and manufacturing. Those are the sector that could be at risk, most at risk of this US tariff. With Kenya, you have apparel, you have tea, and cut flowers. So they also cut flowers. They could be also at most at risk of this tariff. Yeah, and then you have Ghana. Ghana also have cocoa, have also food, have also agriculture. Yeah, similar to Tanzania, and you have also Somalia. Somalia actually provide also they have livestock. And fish as well. So, yeah. So because they have, you know, they have Iran trade links, and there aren't really much happening, you know. The trade link with Iran is not really strong with this country yet. Like with Nigeria, some limited non-oil trade, you know, and some agriculture as well. So with South Africa, it's also non-oil, some minerals as well. With Kenya, it's very minimal, small-scale goods. I think that's the trade between them. Ghana is also some commodities, very limited. So yeah, but then they get they're at most at risk. Because they are given that it's either us or you make a choice. So yeah, that's where they find themselves. So, and they more likely probably to say, hey, Iran, just wait for a month, wait for a while, see how things going. Maybe later on you become a democratic country or whatever the case may be. You never know. Yeah. So yeah, that's the story. You're most welcome to come through and have your say. So on that particular story. So 08333-66091. 08333-66091.
Omutiha utekirwa kaguna imatina omjo. Chikao shafasa na longeshifa ya ishiwike moshiwana. Iye moyao, ota ingongotisa mwene.
Ana geshefa ya Namibia ompito mbwanawa olonjika. Tseithane na omayakuro ni randithoma yoe yongeshefa yoe okupitira mo Eagle FM Media House. Ngoe tuende tuimemeha uka kombanga nena. Kara omkwashipareki uimepo yomo programa detu. Moambo dengera selma kodara heta tuimu. Datundatu heari hamano tano oniyaji. Eagle FM, the eye.
My friend, why do you seem so worried?
Ace, I'm planning an event for next weekend, eh? And I don't know how to best get people to hear about it.
Saima, don't worry about those small things. Contact Eagle FM today. Eagle FM has a dedicated team that can travel anywhere countrywide to broadcast live at any event, such as a promotion, organizational launch, anniversary, wedding, funeral, political or traditional and church events, and basically any event that you wish to broadcast on a national level. Call them now and talk to Monica at 081-270-3727 or the office number 083-288-400. Eagle FM, the eye.
And welcome back. Welcome back. And you are listening to Eagle FM, your number one talk radio station. So in the land and definitely, I think, in the world as well. You know, so good morning. And it's getting hot. So is the weatherman, is the rain still coming? Are we still hoping? Yeah, you know what's happening in South Africa? Seriously. The flooding, that's not normal. Serious guys, that's actually not normal. When a whole town is actually merged underwater, absolutely. Whoa. You know, is there some other things that people do actually? Maybe you remember what happened in United Arab Emirates or it was actually Qatar? I don't know which one it was. Where they, you know, that technical, when they did something in the sky to, you know, to make the rain comes and it was too much. So maybe, you know, they do things like that in, like, for example, in South Africa or any other part of the, where you see this massive, massive, massive water, you know, at once. It's too much, man. It's a really, really too much. Where the whole town, the whole village, the whole area is underwater. Yeah. So, yeah, welcome to Eagle FM. And this is Unpacking the Day and we live coming to you from the Ondangwa studio. So, if you want to talk to us, talk to me, talk to moi, especially for the story that we were just looking at. So 0833-660-91 is the number you should be dialing right now. So where are you? I am waiting for you. So, all right, welcome to Unpacking. And where we take the headlines. Here is where we actually take the headlines, dive deep into the details, and explore what they mean for us. That's what we do here. So welcome. So it's 6 minutes past the hour of nine. And in this segment, we will be unpacking now this big idea. I saw these stories, and I think this is very interesting. So this big idea, Angola is choosing, and I want you to follow well, okay? Could be a little bit technical. Angola is choosing to pay more for debt on purpose to buy back room to, you know, to kind of like to buy back room to breathe. Okay, I'm gonna explain. This is an article in the Ecofinance agency that is, the article calls it a sovereignty premium. Now, and that phrase should make us, or any African, you know, listening, kind of like sit up straight and really, really, really listen. Okay? Now, because here's the basic deal. Okay? Angola is saying, yes, the interest rate is painful, but the freedom is worth it. Okay, let's get into this. Now, what is Angola is doing? Okay, for years, and this is very important, for years Angola borrowed big money from China, you know, to rebuild after a civil war. When you see that Angola have really built infrastructure very, 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 very quickly. You know, there was so much construction that was going on to rebuild and build the infrastructure. But now this was not a normal borrowing. All right, I said they borrowing big money from China, but this was not a normal borrowing. Okay, it was oil backed borrowing. Okay. It was oil-backed borrowing, meaning Angola didn't just promise to pay money back later. It promised future barrels of oil. So oil that would be shipped out as a repayment. It was now oil that was actually shipped out as a repayment. So you're following so far. And that model now help Angola actually to build roads, to build buildings, to build infrastructure quickly when few others were actually willing to lend. Some others were willing to lend. Angola was, okay, get the barrel of oils and we want to get things, you know, done. But it came with a heavy price. So it really came with a heavy price, kind of like rigid. There was no freedom at all. It was rigidity. Okay? There was no freedom with your resources. There wasn't anything you couldn't sell to anybody. It was rigid because, you know, your oil has just to go to, it was oil-backed borrowing, you know? So if you have already promised your oil to repay loans, then your government has less freedom to decide. So it has less freedom to decide how much oil to sell because you have already promised your oil to repay the loans because you're using the oil to repay the loans. So they found themselves in this situation. They have less freedom. They have less control, less freedom to decide how much oil to sell, when to sell it, and where to sell it. And how much to use the money when prices change, maybe if the prices change. So, and when oil prices fall or the currency moves badly, the pressure also multiplies. So that really started to stink. It started to stink. And now Angola is trying to systematically get out of this oil. How do you call it? Oil collateralized loans? Is that a finance word? You know? So now they're trying to get out of these oil collateralized loans and replace them now with a commercial borrowing from market, like a normal borrowing, like any other countries does, or like what you do. So now they are trying to get out of this. Okay, I'm calling it oil collateralized loan. I don't know whether that's a financial word, but you understand what I'm trying to say. So, and the commercial borrowing down. So the commercial borrowing is very, very expensive, and that's the premium. Okay? Angola is paying higher interest so that it can stop tying its national resources to a creditor contract, you know? So that's why they're paying this is now because they want to get out of that. You know, they want to stop tying its national resources, the oil resources to creditor contract. So that was now the case with China. So, and this is the, and actually this is the article's core argument. This is the article's core argument that Angola is not just changing its debt. They are not just changing its debt. Like it is changing, it's not just changing its debt, it's changing its geopolitical, you know, geopolitical room to maneuver, you know? So it's changing its geopolitical room to maneuver, to be able to maneuver, okay? So that's the cost of freedom. The cost of freedom is not free. The cost of freedom is not free. And Angola is paying for, they are actually paying for flexibility. They are paying heavily for flexibility. So the article says, Angola is now borrowing in private market at a very higher rate. Okay? At a very high rate. One example it highlights, Angola issued government debt with a coupon around 10.95% in 2024. And that's up from 8.75% in 2022. Now, you and I, here, 11%, and we think that's actually madness. That's absolutely, absolutely madness. But Angola's argument is, yes, it is expensive, but it's more flexible. So comparing to their initial model. So because market debt, it doesn't force you to pre-commit barrel of oil. Like the contract that they have with China. So it forces discipline, yes. Like what we, you know, like what happened to us. We with our bond that we paid, it forces financial discipline. So, but it also pushes you if investor lose confidence, yes, but it does not lock your production decision into repayment pipeline. You understand? So it doesn't really lock you in that. So, and this is where, so the state gets back what they want. They want that the state get back control over their production volumes. They want to be in control of that. They want to be in control of the export destinations. You know, they want to be in control of timing of revenue. So, and the article makes a key point here. In this strategy, the sovereignty has a price tag and the market is actually charging it openly. You know, it's charging it openly. So, yeah. So, and let me ask you, Namibia, let me ask you, if you're a government, would you rather pay cheap money that comes with, let's say, for example, with a hidden control? Now, China was the one now, let's say, in Angola, control the volume, the destination, the revenue of the oil, or pay expensive money that leaves you in charge? What would you do? Where now you are the one in charge. You are the one who is actually, you know, in control. So you are the one in control of how much oil to sell, when to sell it, where to sell it, and how to use the money, you know? So you see, and that's when now I think that's a strategy. Why can't we use this strategy for our own uranium, for example? Yeah? Why can't we use the same strategy? Anyone who understand that better? Why can't we use that? So Angola also exit OPEC. They also exit OPEC. So the article links this debt strategy to Angola's decision to leave OPEC in 2024. And why is that important? It's important because OPEC membership, remember this, OPEC membership comes with quotas. They come with limits, you know, rules on how much oil you can pump. So that's why they also have to leave that. So Angola is basically saying, we need output, we need volumes, you know, we need physical inflows, eh? And we can't be boxed in, kind of like we are boxed in, there's nothing. So, and that's, I think that's a very, I don't want to use the word revolutionary, but it's very, strategic, if I can use the word. You know, it's something that one can look at, and maybe we need to pay attention to this to see how that works. So for them, leaving OPEC fits the broader theme. You know, the Angola now leaving OPEC, it actually fit the broader theme. Angola is choosing national control over collective discipline. Okay? So, but the article also warned about the risk. Okay? The Angola's oil fields are mature in terms of under investment. It's real now. You understand? So pumping more is not just a political decision. It's also technical, financial, and geopolitical, and not geopolitical. What is the word of the president? Geological, you know. So, and here is the, I think it's a big question for you as a listeners. So, is Angola leaving OPEC a smart move to stabilize money coming in? Is that a smart move, or it's a desperate move that could burn, you know, that could actually burn out the engine faster? When there are no control, that could actually burn the engine faster. So what do you think? Do you think it's a smart move, leaving OPEC? And what, looking at, we are in the process of starting actually to produce oil. Should we become part of OPEC? I remember we had some meetings with this kind of institution at one point. Yeah, so we have to. That's part of the whole process. So, yeah. Do you think that for Angola, that's what's a smart move? So, and what can we learn from that? So, and another one, when a country chooses more output, now, when a country now chooses more output to pay expensive debt, does that push it deeper into, like, it actually pushes you deeper into oil dependence, when now people are talking about energy transitions, you're becoming now more dependent on that, while the world is actually now talking about energy transitions. You might be digging your own grave. Yeah? So, as I said, it's a learning lesson. It's a case study. That help us also to see how we manage our oil at this point in time. Yeah. So they also talk about that Angola is trying to become a middle power, you know? So it's saying Angola is turning debt policy into a statecraft. So now, how do we manage repayment? How do we manage repayment? But how do we position Angola in, when we're thinking of this fractured world where the US, the Europe, the Chinas and others are competing, you know? So now, the article is actually framing Angola as pursuing something like the agile non-aligned. So as we have this US, Europe, China, and others are competing. So Angola is positioning themselves as, you know, agile, non-aligned. Something that Namibia love to do. You know, something that we are no enemy to none and whatever that story is all about. So meaning Angola, it doesn't want to be trapped in China camp or West camp. So it wants option. So Angola wants option and it wants bargaining power. It wants to be courted, if you put it in a romantic way. So yeah, we want people coming to us because we're pretty good and, you know, court us. Eh? Not courting in terms of courting. I'm talking courting in terms of trading, in terms of trade. Okay. So don't have bad ideas. Okay, that's not what I'm talking about. Or don't have to. Oh no, Mike is saying, that's not what I'm saying. So, and it points to two things. It points to two big things. Now, linking to Europe through standards and agreement. So Angola is signed a major agreement now with the EU called CIFA. So as I said, Angola wants bargaining power. It wants bargain power. They want options. And I said, that's exactly what we see. They also then have, they sign a major agreement with the EU. That's what Angola wants to do. That's called CIFA. Now, aligning part of its, you know, regulatory and governance system with European expectations. And the article point is that Europe is giving cheaper money. And it is that Europe offers something else, you know? So that's what they're looking. In other words, if we look more, well, like investable, is that a word can be used? If we look more investable, that countries can invest in us, we attract capital beyond emergency borrowing, like now what they were doing with China. So that's what, if we look more investable, so we would attract more capital beyond that. So that's what you're looking at. And then you have the whole issue of the whole infrastructure as a geopolitics. That's Lupito. Lupito corridor. Now, the Lupito corridor is a rail and logistic route connecting the mineral belt of the DRC and Zambia to Angola Atlantic port. Okay? So the article described it as a strategic alternatives to the older China finance routes. Okay? And as a way now to make Angola a gateway for regional minerals into a global market. So, and we need to watch that closely because that could be a challenge. That could be a competition. So Angola is not just exporting oil. So it is actually trying to become a connector state. They are trying to become a connexus, and we got to listen. Namibia, listen closely. We need to, you know, we need to watch that carefully and listen. You know, this is the kind of thing that changes regional power. You know, not military force, but logistic. And my boss was actually talking about the other time. I don't know what we were talking about. We're talking about this in terms of logistics. He was talking about logistics, but by port, by rails, was talking about rails, by who controlled the route. So that's why I said becoming a regional power, it's not necessary you are the military force. It's by logistics. By logistic, by port, by railways, and by who control, you know. Route. So, but here's my questions now. Okay. Now, if Angola becomes the key, I think if Angola becomes the key exit route for copper and cobalt, you know, copper from Zambia and cobalt from DRC, who wins, leverage? Angola or the foreign investor behind the corridor? Who wins definitely the leverage. And what does it mean for now? What does it mean for our port, for example, for port like Wavish Bay and Namibia on our own logistic ambitions? Think about this. Think deep about this. Okay? It's a competition. It's a competition. So that if we snooze, we lose. Eh? If we snooze, we lose. Now let's maybe talk. The other article is also looking at the part that should matter most to ordinary Angolans. We're talking more about all this infrastructure and whatever. So, but what are the parts that is most important to Angola, to ordinary Angolans, and to every Namibian listening as well? So the article says Angola's sovereignty premium only makes sense if it delivers a really domestic result. So it's the same thing with all the promises that you hear, okay? Oil and gas and all those, you know, what it will bring. So if it will bring employment, if it will bring infrastructure, if it will bring, you know, development, so it only makes sense if it deliver a really domestic result. So now, because higher interest debt is not, because that's not a theory, it squeezes budget. It's not just something that is, it's really, that's a lot of money that's being used. It's the same thing like when we spend like how much? The amount of money, 750,000 euros, American dollars for the bond that we repay. So that it squeezes, that amount squeezes the budget. It squeezes the budget, and the Angola has a huge, huge pressure, just like us. So youth unemployment, near 60%, as the article states. So education spending, their education, ours is far, far, far better. So education spending around 7% of the budget. That's also stated in the article. And election coming, there's also election coming in 2027. So Angola is taking on expensive market discipline while facing social and political expectations. So expensive market discipline is the same thing that we did. So we're taking on physical discipline. We took on a physical discipline, you know, while facing the same thing, social and political expectation. And the article is very blunt. It's very, very, very blunt in terms of this. So market will increasingly price not just the oil, but also social stability and delivery. So it's not just the oil. It's also have pressure on our social stability and delivery.
Imbaya rire ombwa nai etetwaweza ko ombuni kiro ombe ombi hukusha. Onjiviro yoye irire ombupu ohakane na wina ikare no masa kumurungu wa indu. Weri rongere kusha umune ondengu okura kwe imba. Una ovyu nevya peke ko rondola mirongo vitatu na hambu umwe umwe. So, puika ovinki no kukara norupa ondando ya peke yukianja oshimariva. Olo peresente dano komieze vitatu moshimariva. Olo peresente umurongo komieze hambu umwe moshimariva. Olo peresente umirongo ivari na dano. Miedi ya mulongwa na vivari moshimarifu. Itororera ondengu chima yu ungura na wakove na wina onyano kife. Ashiesho imba ke kupe oshimariva shishuhina omarifiro. Imba o maoronga neno owe uha kainina. Itako na wina rishangita jinoni.
No. So welcome back. We're talking, as I was, welcome back. This is Unpacking the Day on Eagle FM. And we're talking Angola's sovereignty premium. You know, we're talking a strategy of that Angola is actually being, Angola's using, you know, to this expensive way of buying their flexibility, okay, if you like, and control of their resources. So, and I was talking about that. As I said, the article actually was really very blunt in terms of that market will increasingly price not just in terms of oil but also social stability and delivery. What exactly mean is that? So let's look at it in this way. So now. What the strategy now is that let's say for example if Angola now pays 11% interest to buy, which is very expensive, which is really now that's what we're talking about, to buy sovereignty, okay? But now
The problem is, but the school, let's say for example, the school stay underfunded and the youth stays jobless, you know, as the issues that are still, the issue still continue, still persisting. What is exactly has been then purchased? You purchased something that is very expensive, that's very, you know, but then what did it do? What did it do? And here's another one that should stink, really should stink. So is the debt pivot about sovereignty for the nation or flexibility for the political class? That's the question. In most cases, sometimes it's just, you know, especially a country like Angola, is it the flexibility for the political class? Because sometimes government says, we are reclaiming autonomy. But the lived experience is higher costs, fewer services, more inequalities, and exactly the same thing we're experiencing. Yeah. So what we're looking at, is really Angola is trying to, you know, Angola is trying to turn debt into independence. So if we can sum up that in a line, is that, you know, Angola is intentionally sweeping cheaper, but controlling debt for expensive, but flexible debt. So to regain now control over its own oil, its policies, and its geopolitical position. So basically, yeah, it is a sophisticated move. It is also a risk move. And it could work if Angola converts autonomy into jobs, into education, into social stability, into a real plan beyond the oil. So, or it could backfire. It could also backfire if higher production become a trap, you know, if production falls, or if social pressure explode before the strategy actually bear fruit. So it could also backfire as well. Well, just to wrap it up, if we can wrap this up quickly, Angola is making some bold moves, breaking free from China's grip, you know, positioning itself as a more independent and powerful player in Africa, and rethinking how it handles its natural resources and debts. Something that we can take a leaf out of that book. But the real test is whether this financial now flexibility translate into social change. The people are hungry, the poverty, the inequality. So one have to see whether that it translates into social change on the ground. So will they be able to create jobs? Would they be able to improve education? Would they ensure that their people feel the benefit of this shift in policies? The people themselves. And will the higher interest debt become just another burden? So that could be just, you know, become this. So what do you think? So what do you think, Namibia? What do you think? Is Angola on the right path by choosing sovereignty over cheap debt? You know, and can higher interest debt lead to, can it lead to a long-term stability? Or is this a risk, could be a risk gamble that Angola is taking? And what are our lessons? What is the lesson can Namibia actually learn from Angola's strategy? So especially as we look at our own resources management and debt policies. So maybe something that we can learn from them. So yeah, let us know what you think. You know, you can call in now. You can come through. And let's unpack this together. 08333 66091. 08333 66091. So you're most welcome to come through.
My friend, why do you seem so worried?
Ace, I'm planning an event for next weekend, eh? And I don't know how to best get people to hear about it.
Saima, don't worry about those small things. Contact Eagle FM today. Eagle FM has a dedicated team that can travel anywhere countrywide to broadcast live at any event, such as a promotion, organizational launch, anniversary, wedding, funeral, political or traditional and church events, and basically any event that you wish to broadcast on a national level. Call them now and talk to Monica at 081-270-3727 or the office number 083-288-400. Eagle FM, the eye.
No matter where you are, if you have a mobile device, you can tune into Namibia's number one talk radio station by downloading the Eagle FM app on the Google Play Store or on the Apple App Store. Download the Eagle FM app to tune into live Eagle FM programming or to listen to podcasts of previous broadcasts. Eagle FM, Namibia's number one talk radio station.
Get social with us on Twitter, Facebook, Instagram, and LinkedIn. Our handle is Eagle FM Namibia.
Eagle FM, the eye.
Very good morning. I've been informed here that people are trying to call, but you know, my line is fine. There's nothing actually wrong with my line. Yeah, it's dead.
My friend, why do you seem so worried?
Ace, I'm planning an event for next weekend, eh? And I don't know how to best get people to hear about it.
Saima, don't worry about those small things. Contact Eagle FM today. Eagle FM has a dedicated team that can travel anywhere countrywide to broadcast live at any event, such as a promotion, organizational launch, anniversary, wedding, funeral, political or traditional and church events, and basically any event that you wish to broadcast on a national level. Call them now and talk to Monica at 081-270-3727 or the office number 083-288-400. Eagle FM, the eye.
No matter where you are, if you have a mobile device, you can tune into Namibia's number one talk radio station by downloading the Eagle FM app on the Google Play Store or on the Apple App Store. Download the Eagle FM app to tune into live Eagle FM programming or to listen to podcasts of previous broadcasts. Eagle FM, Namibia's number one talk radio station.
Get social with us on Twitter, Facebook, Instagram, and LinkedIn. Our handle is Eagle FM Namibia.
Eagle FM, the eye.
Omutiha gutekirwa kaguna iimatina omjo chikawa shafasana na nalonge shifa ya ishiwike moshiwana iye moyawo otaingongotisa mwene ana geshifa ya Namibia ombitombwa nawa olonjika seitha nina omayaguro nirandithoma yoe yongeshifa yoe okupitira mo Eagle FM Media House ngoe tuende tuimemeha uka kombanga nina kara omkwashi pareki uimwepo yo mo programa betu moambo dengera selma konara heta tuimwe datu heari jamano tano o niari Eagle FM the eye.
My friend, why
good morning and welcome back. And this is Unpacking the Day. Yeah, my line is completely dead. It's completely dead. Yeah. Yeah, so I was wondering. It's completely dead. So I was wondering what is going on. Yeah, but I realized that all along, I think I wasn't aware of that. I just find out now that it's actually completely dead. There's no sounds at all. All right. Let me see if some technical people can come and do something. Maybe at the main box or something. Yeah, please just hold on quickly and see whether I can sort this in a few minutes. Get someone to look at whether the where the line coming from. Maybe it's off there. So because the line is completely dead. Just a second. I need to call someone quickly. Just stay tuned.
Get social with us on Twitter, Facebook, Instagram, and LinkedIn. Our handle is Eagle FM Namibia.
Eagle FM, the Eye.
Omutiha, we take your kaguna, e matina, omjo. Chicago Shafa, Sanana, Longishifa, yai, shiwikemoshiwana, e moyao, otaimbo gotisamwene. Anagashifa, yanamibia, ombitom banawa, orangika. Seithanina, omaguro, nirantitoma, yue, yongeshifa yoyo kupitiramo, Eagle FM Media House. Ngoe tuende timeleha u kakombanga nena. Kara omkwashi pareki uimwepo yomo programa detu. Moambo dengera selma konara heta tuimu. Datu ndatu heari hamano tano o niyaji. Eagle FM, the eye.
My friend, why do you seem so worried?
Ace, I'm planning an event for next weekend, eh? And I don't know how to best get people to hear about it.
Saima. Don't worry about those small things. Contact Eagle FM today. Eagle FM has a dedicated team that can travel anywhere countrywide to broadcast live at any event, such as a promotion, organizational launch, anniversary, wedding, funeral, political or traditional and church events, and basically any event that you wish to broadcast on a national level. Call them now and talk to Monica at 081-270-3727 or the office number 083-288-400. Eagle FM, the eye.
All right, welcome back. And you probably have been trying actually, you know, to come through and you couldn't actually get through because, our line, it's completely dead at this point in time, and we'll see. So if it start working, I will just let you know as soon as possible. So at this point in time, even if you call, the line it's absolutely dead. All right.
Attention, all aspiring students. The International University of Management is thrilled to announce that late applications for the academic year 2026 are now open and closing on the 20th of February 2026. Whether your passion lies in environmental management and sustainability sciences, health sciences, ICT, business and strategic management, or in education, we have the perfect program waiting for you. And to our future leaders and changemakers, you are not left out. Boost your career with our postgraduate programs or advance your journey through the Graduate School of Business. Study full-time, part-time, or via distance learning. The choice is yours. Your future, your way. For more information, visit www.ium.edu.na or call us at 061-433-6000. That's 061-433-6000. IUM, a Namibian university dedicated to its people's future.
Get social with us on Twitter, Facebook, Instagram, and LinkedIn. Our handle is Eagle FM Namibia.
Eagle FM, the eye.
Omutiha, we take your kaguna, e matina, omjo. Chicago Shafa, Sanana, Longishifa, yai, shiwikemoshiwana, e moyao, otaimbo gotisamwene. Anagashifa, yanamibia, ombitom banawa, orangika. Seithanina, omaguro, nirantitoma, yue, yongeshifa yoyo kupitiramo, Eagle FM Media House. Ngoe tuende timeleha u kakombanga nena. Kara omkwashi pareki uimwepo yomo programa detu. Moambo dengera selma konara heta tuimu. Datu ndatu heari hamano tano o niyaji. Eagle FM, the eye.
All right, welcome back. Our time is about 46 minutes past the hour of nine. So, welcome to Unpacking the Day. So Yeah, you won't be able to come through at this point in time. So we have a little bit, we have a bit of a problem with our line. You won't be able to come through at this point in time. All right. So, yeah, let's dive into some big ideas that are really shaping our continent. How many minutes do we have? Yeah, we are talking about youth unemployment in Africa, a problem that feels endless, you know, but it's also sparking new opportunities. So now, if we look at Africa's youth unemployment, if we look at Africa's youth unemployment crisis, it's not just about lack of jobs, though that is certainly part of it. It's also about the skills mismatch. Young people are graduating, but they are not prepared for the jobs that are actually out there. Now, according to the 2025 Afrobarometer report, 26% of young people say they just aren't getting the right training. This is now the young people themselves said that 26% of that are saying we are not just getting the right training. And another 14% say their education, it doesn't match what employers need. So, and that's actually a huge problem. So, this is on a continent level, but it's something that we experiencing the same thing here in Namibia. So, but here's the thing. Now, this crisis is not just a challenge. So there are those, it's not just a challenge. It's also creating a new opportunities, according to the report. So it's also creating a new opportunities according to the reports. And let's break it down. Let me break it down for you. Okay. Now, one of the biggest gap is training. Okay. The skills gap. So it's because of one of the biggest gap is then training, the skills gap. Many of our education system, according to the report, even here in Namibia, and across Africa, aren't keeping up with the fast changes in industry like technology, digital services and specialized manufacturing. They are not keeping up with these industries. So schools and universities are still focused on traditional subjects. Vocational program often get overlooked. Like we have seen that when now we have introduced a new approach, the new approach of TVET new approach that the ministry have just announced a few weeks ago. So it's an issue all over. Vocational programs is overlooked all over across Africa. So, but what if we flip the narrative? So what if we flip the narratives? So this is what this report is looking at. So there is a growing market for private training. So there is a growing now. When there is this gap, when there is a gap in terms of training, so then they, as I said, if we flip the narrative, there is a growing market for a private training institution that can actually fill that gap. And this business can adapt quickly to the, now the good thing is that those business can adapt quickly to the need of the economy. Okay. And with the right regulatory support from the government, this private training initiative could actually scale across the continent. So in Namibia, do we have the right framework to support, you know, to support such a programs? How can business, you know, how can business and the government partners partner up, you know, to make this happen? We see some private partnership, PPP forum that has been established. And what have you seen so far? So we hear and we celebrate those kind of forum when they are launched. And you hear, you never hear anything anymore, you know? So now the question is this, how can businesses and the government partner up to make this happen? And this is a big question for us. And that's what, those are the whole ideas of actually creating some of this forum. And do we hear anything anymore? And normally these things are confined in a cold boardrooms where they just produce minutes and that's all what you hear. I mean, you don't hear anything anymore. And the whole idea is actually to effect impact, to see difference, to create, you know, approaches that really make a difference. Eh? Like the partnership that we, the forum that has been created, what have you heard? So what have you had so far? You know, the, you know, it's more paper-based kind of achievement that you probably hear, not something that you see in a real life. So now, what also interesting is that more than half of African youth prefer to start their own businesses rather than actually go after the former jobs. Now, on one hand, that is actually great. When you're looking at that, on one hand, that you think, okay, that is great. Because you think, okay, entrepreneurship can drive innovation and economic growth. So on the other hand, it shows how desperate things maybe have become. Yeah? It definitely shows how things have become. The former job market is that it's either too scarce or too competitive or too underpaid for many young people actually to see it as a viable option. And in Namibia, that actually market, the former market is very, 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 it's very, very thin. Yeah? It's not big enough. So now this shift is creating a huge demand for services that support now small businesses. So things like, you know, fintech, micro lending, digital payment solutions and incubators. Okay. So these sectors are growing fast. So these sectors are growing fast and can potentially create then a lot and a lot of jobs. But how many of these opportunities actually translate in sustainable long-term employment? So, and are they really reaching everyone? So those are the questions. Or are they only benefiting the tech survey of Durban people that are the youth that are actually in urban areas and who are already connected, you know, and creating still that rural-urban divide. So what is our time? So, yeah, when we're talking about that rural-urban divide, so there is a huge, huge gap between urban and rural youth in Africa. So that report also what it's saying. Youth people, young people in the rural areas are much more likely actually to be out of work and out of school. So in fact, there is a 20-point differences when we look at urban versus rural participation in the education and labor market. So that's a lot of young people being left behind. So yeah, this rural urban divide is not just about location. It's about infrastructure. Rural area often lack access to things. They lack training centers. There are no training centers. There are no stable internet in the rural. There are no proper market access. So that make it harder for young people to break into the new opportunities that we talk about. So while digital solutions like mobile learning and fintech are growing across Africa, they mainly benefit urban youth. They mainly benefit urban youth who already have internet access. So are we really doing enough now to bridge that gap? Let's say, for example, in Namibian rural. That's why when there was that survey on Starlink, you know, majority of people overwhelmingly voted or indicated that they want Starlink to come to Namibia. So it's because sometimes it's to address these kind of problems that we have at the moment. And how can business step in to help? So we also need to ask our business in Namibia that how do they step in actually, you know, to help? Yeah, so there is quite a lot we could have gone through this, but we started this when we were coming towards the end of the show. So our time is about 58 minutes past the hour of 9. And Tate Nalvanda just is in the house. Good morning, Tate. How are you?
Now, Tate Mike.
Ongolo Iwandisi.
Ongolo Iwa.
Okay. In Metelelo, we are going to see Kuntu Swendisi.
Tote kulego mafumo ilo tule mafiriza. Ushuke fuma nandola kwa tope fimbweli.
Yeah.
Le totula mafiriza. Yeah. Kwa toka karawa alakulia.
Yeah.
Kwa kufamua kwa shita joma isanga nye natango tata mageta andani sayo.
Okay. Ava nenpe hene friza? Atu shiringi ngali?
Kwa shaku mpeva jaya nyaneke nyenge mwara kwa yofa tantunu noruko tantula mumea weno mongu watanyo.
Yeah. Okay. So, ongulo iwandisi?
Ayo ongulo iwa.
Tatele lashike mu kufamosha nina?
Nina, tuatala shiku mungu. Shia shikingalo mwa Namibia kucha. Umaui ya shike no mwa shike, ushucha. Nga shingota kutongwe na masadalu. Ka.
Yeah.
Ya, ino dimba kucho, msika, iku ataka nifanu mwenyuni. Mm. Ye, tuatala nina patu kakala mwa. Na shikingalo mwenga, chela boya shivika nawa.
Yeah.
Mane chela opo Kongo. Kucha, veshiwe tena nangai pimo music industry. Waingene pa yu ye mo. Upa, kuko njifango cha shoto, noshu wana sheni ronga pa yu.
Mm.
Nde, vamo, ihaya alimo music at moro wa kuimba.
Yeah.
Ndota imo ike nando nuiti imbi nao kwa alike, kukutite kucho job opportunity.
Yeah. Mm. Seike to imo nando ato seike, No parendisi, o budget o puiri maliwo puiri kwa tewa kwe tunge nyu pare.
Mm.
Defio papa aminata mekukutungu pare.
Mm-hmm.
So, washi tulikana tango noko sekta yoyo yo creative, ha? Onkalo uliko natango kucha. Imaliwo puiri, ndi maliwa natango itai momake ovanmavi, pumbwa.
Nga shesho shakara, keshe omapangero akara kwa pukarikepe no budget, Ya no abataveta posha unikunyanga dara unenenga hiko music shikondo sho shikarhia ya terwa ped. Kicho music ana mibi ya ineko washibika tetopo.
Yeah.
Ini maji aba ne very ped baba nando no quality imbi dimburuka ike nikupeko shopenema.
Yeah.
Ngengo uni biro pa traditional ma imbiro wa yang tio to do time bio kango sweet na mibi. Mangota shi ape performing. Ayo to bege engaro dimwe udidite ano tege tandanisa shasho no kune dina anta kufa kwi marumara shasho shakara pota shinda te ina noko background akwi musika no marito mufanana ninge shaka ongaro yo yakala ne ko shikondo sho musika une ne shonge shefa yo musika kuno pisaka takara tuna yo mandiki na ndo mwandangu ampeno yanje kwali kongwe divo kuna o college ata atu mungomo no makorenge jiro asho ndodroku kiongashi
yeah
mala ini mayo enda taifi ya faike sokade tumoshilongo upale bomatanga usipote yasa ishatutungwe dero paka peno playground that's why unona vetu vataleke minganga mufi moko utaleke miholo yeah. Ini mayo shashi ini mayo tataleko kengo ke unina vipya kidila yeah no mbujo uya pombada shashi na vipya kidila nikupiko shopenema ngenge fungiole
yeah
alili anoshili aleto shiponga shili mara ali kufa pombo di mushiro mushetu yeah. Anu akala vipya kidira na ukapate shida watavila ndifira keshe pepa tatu anga panta alandi fish ngawe tu bongo ditenye kwa itu du shige shige mara shiko meyai poneto mono kuja anu mbori papungu ilonga shili
yeah mm-hmm. Yo o music industry ngeno moku italango no mui na vewe wete ove na vewe o umengo mo industry yomo na vo wakala mongo mo industry yo shike yo music so yo venenge no wetengo kucha o first of all ya contribute o wetengo ngena ya contributing ako ko wa ke ambule polosu lo shilongo ndishi mon kalongena utu tare kucha o music o wetengo ngena ya contributing ako ya tap ya we contributing ngo kuwa una shano shilongo kuwa una shaneli kolo shilongo
o ushukucha o shevene twadi pa unene yanga no le torole ngaro arufano naska
yeah
shotango ngaro to udana mushirongo shetu na mava ufano muku chomeno wa dana emu viku chemisika kuchane me performing ke de suapo tani no kutumbura to kufana shiki ngaro ko South Africa to kufana makazi ko po chwana uye mo Namibia
yeah.
To futu imaru i hapo ye takes pair de to
yeah.
Ya kwa shiwana
yeah
konui mara sho po umone kwa mitwa kwa mapangero wao
yeah
ngembo atara sho peno South Africa arushe ke kuna keshe modulo atelo new star Namibia ngiko music ayu ile opene ke numba ilo numba oshi maneje she tudi pa ilo music acho tashikani fane tashidi pa ili koroshi longo shashi o musica kaishi oshi masho ko karapo ike nga inyaga kwini maya jano me kuru sio ba Africa musica born from Africa ngengo hatu imbi ndo hatu limi ilo hatuhu ilo hatuningisha
yeah
nenaria tufane mono utunashi bara udame wangajira atulifa ipa chumburumbu bwana shikishike ngae
yeah.
Kwa hivyo musica yetu inakuturwe ngono shashi utai tunakulonga ndeni ilongo yote itondoka yona ikaleta atufanwa konje ilongo chafike ngeshefa tunda Namibia itatukombeti itatukale tunengeshefa me Europe Europe ni peni omoro shikembela anma baba yako shikondo sho musica ana politika nenge ndike anwe kebe udite kutota ningishike oshima shiti valio musica idaronu o anu watamekano maudano kaina nevu chapwa mwe onoteki yakane kimbe shaimbi na opo o music inakukarapo yo inane kutalika kucha o imbie tei shashi nande shilongo shitashina inga
yeah.
O education ipitire through the music ilo movie o matumala ka ashikive ngalo ka kwali hai me politika shashi anu vohalongo no mepo o hadru kumona shirikomesho
yeah.
Wete ko ndo hashipitire through the music. Tadru kumono mwiki fita dia ilo shiwana tashikaya mojo. Ngero wata alene natalo meimbiro tate kwela. We imbwa kuya mbwa kukilo mkangi tareni shota ningi. Ini mambita, imbiro weko tate kwela upate yepe ninga paifi. Ini mambita imbwa kasa manevo wo tate nakale. Upate yepe ninga paifi. Nde paifi o musica ito ya seke shashi. Otunaike anu vaningo job opportunity. Shia inspiring kwa waveri po kuchambori. O musica mboli longe kesha wa ipu ito dipu. O mwane uri omo atu mpazele tu tulipo mbada atu mpe shike. Pa ife ni nari atu mwala karo mwenye yota nitishike.
Yeah. Na si poku talane pondo dbapa tulipe ife mwenye ni dopa nkaro ngono uta pa developer pa utek pa technology opo anu talongi fangone no artificial intelligence ha. O challenge ashike uwe teidi mo musica eta etako ke humo komeshoro pa uno ngono
kuchi humo komeshoro uye oichi ano matumbolo nengovela hadipe unu kukarunga imweni kuchi ukale neto ninge hatifishi ya ruka ninge wiliwa oshi masha modifier no mtoti oshi masha toto akumweni shinongu shushi dulifo kumodifier umurwashi kembela topulilenge puroli lingao umurwashi kucha oikwelenge jifo nande twakonga computer twakonga instrumenta dokweta pye musika
yeah.
Ini mayo ya longwa shikole lakini mayo kwa itu neni pahonga
yeah.
ngengo ai milongo yo Yemen ndeto tarai misika shikwa dishikwa mu Afrika tunusi aya tunumburumbubwa otunungongi otunashike ini mayo weke nemero jodo dakatwa me computer shashe twali acreate ame shite tuningile ngao ovala tuninge zombie nilongife ko shichasha shashe ngengi to create ipeta shake shito ulio mingene shito onungengo kwa kaleri komba dabineta kontike na shani ngako inadala inatunga ono kwali atroshite ndo ushasho kuno o enjo deshito.
Yeah.
Onenari, o musicai, otuna kuitala na, wafirwa ikenena, o musica tekuye keleki. Ulime politika, o musica tekuye keleki. Shosho na shipefanga shine, ashikingaru imari, wa inye miliu na nosho nosho. Anu itapon me miliu na shasho ya hala, otala nde followa. Ono unyokuna kucha mondine followa, difika pa moshilongo. Opone ndio ndi jale pandela longu duwe, na tuwepo shitafula. Shashingengo ndaka jaroshi imashi, e followa danga disho dina kukula ndula.
Yeah.
Atashichango tala ndi fovanu, moro wa shashio musiko ike iturunyu unikumu, yo iduruku wano unapu. No yeah. Mito musika hili.
Yeah, ae o shike, o poudulo ku, o kupanda, poudulo kukara wa panda, o shike, o kuchano o culture yoye, kuchano elakalo ye, kuchano o mshuru wakala oye
ikulia
o ikulia o tachi ini mayo haipitire mo music
ilo mwe movi
ya yeah, ilo ngone mwe movi nga shingo ya to
do wate paifu shoshu wate kashina upagadu wate ndikute temelaka
ya
no tv ya tuyo pashuwana tarini mayo haidamu nako tv ya tuyo pashuwana shapotare kwike ngundana
yeah.
Uni maminyatu tarife meri jegei no mari choi watu wati uni matadamu maka Mexico nde efimbori mwe hashoveri okunwe famono na vetu chochu toa ngumbi ya tarungwini okulila alumenu okudalo kana toka kupola shito ina unyamo mboto dimo nena ini mayope ifo ya ne muse atuombola ndatyo kutombola nena o shiparanyo rosho koshifo oshimon
ya
mefikuli mwalike kuje kongela eo mbo dilio milongo ne dateka moshakati dilio milongo haman hali na imwe dateka ko venduka oku ya kumwe mefikuli mwalike edoro peko datali kamanga
sito
proke shashana na venduka e homwe fele non longo name oshota shikupeshike itatu hoptala shewatu ka ngenye ke viro ndita tuka hombolen shosho pene yoroko pokati ko hango no hombo
yeah
cha chatu hombole kenda mwana meka ilongo nayo kwa hombola ka kwa indina non kadona ina ndi fikori fu ina ndi kuri kwa kuti hombo hole homwe kwa tafano e darafano e uyepo handi tondoke kena mikaji alikuti wano kundanisa
yeah
ni maya cha shidru kwa fodinga ku ilanda mala sho shiviro kenda ni
Oshima shimwe shafi mana shu oshe shuwa tumbula shina sha unenono mikalo doku yanja oma uyerele. Kashingo nandengene TV ne paifo tunane YouTube anini mai shoyo. Okuchane omkalo ulingaho o unoku kala wa ulipapa ngeru ulipo watu wapo kucha otalo kwe toshi wana shetupondo do ilinga. No tuno o grupa yo vanu veringa hava ta ningini mailinga o ta duru kutetera no kuhanga irala kanori tanga taive shi turinga ha otuna na ndengeno o nb o radio pashwana ilo o tv o pashwana oko ko tv o pashwana akudana na ndengeno o ngana tuyene na ndengeno po maudano akudana na ndalu sheke shifika akudana na nde o premier ya England eshu uringa ha ngo wapulange kucha adani vana mibi olie. Yeke? Okay? Mbe ikulo mbure mwege na ndeva valilo vatatu.
Uwe wa mwona pene mwishifu.
Uwe wa mwona
pene mwishifu. Ilo
ya. Ilo ngo we. Onare ne kwale shatu ikupale. Pefe chani ngedure shatu ikupale anta. Shashu adana. Ilo ngo imwe ili kai adani nari omu. Mana ngo wapulange kucha adani vo Chelsea, vo Man United, I can, na vya adano hivyo
kumilongo. Nuna tata wako tu orfa yufi kukwe ngila ndawishi mwana mibia, na lipo chakocha wako tata ongulushi.
Weteko, ofauka za yetu, kaili unene kwa kongaro yetu opo tudure kucha, opo tudure ku influence. Weteko, ya, engu ndana atu yanje, ilo ma, o inima api, ingenga shintina ne musica, o influencer yoye, your culture yoye, your ideology yoye, shashimo musica, omomune ideology, omomune philosophy, omomune longo lo shike, longoko, lo itavero lo yo, ongo Namibia.
Ngashike ngeleka,
yeah.
opo dikale ke pongushya daningo mahanga tadimjo sho shini ba mu kristo wabo
yeah
e kwa kwa meko sho sho iti nanda anu veli moita nena ndeka peno music ta kwa twa kisoro ita durukurwa alika nanda anu nena sho sho wete o music is everywhere otunano kai makeringa paifa tukufana nge pyo tv yo pashiwana nani mbolingengo kuneka ngoro o veli kota nda ta dano kile mumba la mbre tuchia tucho shima hipashiwana we call it ngengo tushima tushifana hipashiwana o mingwa kwa adishe patela digale ko tv yo ngene movie nga shadida na konje keno zopa no tate makiti o diliogo ngene ngalo dana mibia tune platform ngene documentary tadiningwa o inima tutale o mandume ande mfayo kwa ita aningishike o liyeleli ngaone na I longo nyopu mwane kuchashe o hatu lele ndo tulimo ngongangano ye mango danu ye ite kwe fashashotova durwe ngono o unaku karake fipo otale shavo opo udimwe shwe
yeah so osho oshiri mkalo hatutio marketing andishi genge kuna o mkalo woku marketinga o oshike o uwawoye nena otopiti oneno te fauta shashi mkalo woku marketinga kuninga kucho oshi mashi utomonolu hapu oashikala muma diradiroe and you are more likely to do that shashosho omono arushi
nande yiyo kwari weli wole
exactly
christ ndabuke yeah. Fikulile panda nje
tomalike nayo yeah ino mono omambiro limwe talimbwa po na note imbishike hokeru danga to pareke na bolo tu
ndatino kutumbula wete otuna ipingeshanika
shosho ndara kupopia pa kujana va puya ba uduko shashi ito porwa imwe atudiru kupopia shima weshipopia ko mukufa mosha oteke shudako on the radar oteke shudana ndo kuliko business and segmenta sasi moku doshima po omweke ambara to druku okushishiba no kushikoneka luhabu weteko
kyosha nene nangenge mbole tuli nengao otatele la no shiwana atukara po pe nash olwe ndola tumba ndemimba leka mnasha anu veli ponde nando vakulupe to druka promo yelele kubo kena shivo ngela muru yuwabu. Shashisho tango, oka anashita kadaru. Ahave oka rumbu le kari yetu. Oka pungwa kukirieta. Ekirieta olo yolo, oletwa mwanale kukarunga. Nele lolo Eshi, pene kuno nahita vide ngo pena ataka mwenifu. Pena ataka turunyu nikumwe. Keke pete keko mapepe. Po pena kataka dikyo iti, katarumo umbo. Ko pena kataka ongwe ngo be, ilo taka ningembali kaninge dira. Ko pena kataka pangele darate, kaningoma hautu. Oh no! Geno kwetu no maongwe ringa, otale kwa shitale njo shoko mesho, oye nina tetwetele otu. Po ife se uno na vetu, patame kano kutunga ne ofadile, na dana ukanedu, na kakalele shike. O etivi ye, kankyo pashi wano. Otaka kufashi kwa shota ataleru wano. Mongo la, tocho kana kango keri, no mono kaka video, kamo keri, pefe shuno na atame kofikolo. Kana keri meku mataka, undulileke kwa mesho. Wete ko?
Yeah.
Mo klasa, uno neke veri, mo kinda, yeah. Toko taka ningiko. Mona peni, inima yeah. Haka tale kefiku. Anweshi to kunu oshototea ove dimburuka nekucha oyimati ewireka kule nontiwa sho shifisa hila ndura iko mali
ya yeah. Tanarwanda ina tu yemo programa we
ya
yeah. Ya oyo ya kufa mosha ano aprikeni tanarwanda otaruka momentu tradishona amena ndimfiepo let me say goodbye until tomorrow my name is Michael Chavelli. Until we see each other tomorrow again. At the same time, here on Eagle FM.